Welcome to Healthy by Choice, a broadcast designed to bring powerful healing into your life today. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at CHIP, the Complete Health Improvement Program offered across the country and around the world. You can learn more at chiphealth.com. But now, get ready to enjoy some proven results and priceless benefits. I'm your Healthy by Choice host, Charles Mills. In the days before carbon monoxide detectors, coal miners would carry with them into the underground tunnels a cage containing a canary. If dangerous gases such as carbon monoxide leaked into the tunnels, then the gases would cause distress to the canary. And a distressed or even dead little bird would be a clear sign that the conditions underground were not safe, prompting a warning to the miners to exit the tunnels at once. Wouldn't it be nice if we humans had such a detector for our number one killer, heart disease, in our bodies? Well, it seems we do. Let's talk with Dr. Hans Diehl, founder of CHIP, about an amazing early warning system that's surprisingly accurate and deadly serious. Dr. Diehl, what do we need to know?
Yes, this is a very special topic.
Yes.
And this is basically aiming not only at men, yes, in a way that it is, but it's also for everyone that wants to have a good quality of life. We're talking today about erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than 40% of American men over 40s of age are concerned about erectile dysfunction affecting the quality of their lives. You know, that rate is higher than anywhere else in the world here in America.
Really?
We are number one in the world in erectile dysfunction.
Well, that's nothing to be really excited about, Dr. Diehl.
I mean, no,
there are things we could brag about a lot better than that.
But ED, as I'm going to be referring to erectile dysfunction, mm-hmm. is only the soft tip of the iceberg
yes, okay.
of a much larger systemic vascular disorder.
Yeah.
And that disorder is affecting all of us. It's called atherosclerosis. Mm-hmm. It's a narrowing and a hardening of our larger blood vessels. And it's this hardening of the arteries that then is associated with disability and premature death more than anything else. So we're talking about the circulatory system. We're talking about keeping the circulatory system wide open so blood can flow to all the special organs. But when these arteries are narrowed, when they become hardened, the blood can no longer flow as rapidly, and all kinds of things are happening.
Now, you know, we talk about atherosclerosis, we talk about hardening of the arteries, and we always talk about the heart, how we can have a heart attack with that happening there. Are you saying that we don't get atherosclerosis locally, that it is systemic in nature? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the point I want to really drive home today. You know, what we sometimes don't realize is that the first sign of hardening of the arteries is the softening of the male sex organ. It's a condition called erectile dysfunction or ED. And, you know, that term ED then includes sexual impotence.
Yes.
And it's ED that's sort of like the canary in the coal mine is for men the first warning sign of progressive atherosclerosis affecting our larger vessels in the body.
So a person who has ED should sit up and take notice because this is the beginning of something. Why there? Why in the male sex organ? Why don't we feel it other places in the body? Why not at the heart? Why is it first there?
That's a good question. You know, I wondered about that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I began to understand that the vessels to the male sex organ are much, much smaller in diameter than the coronary arteries that are bringing blood to the heart muscle, or even more so, the arteries close to the neck that bring blood to the brain, the stroke. And so that's why erectile dysfunction can oftentimes become the first warning sign that something is happening. You see, erectile dysfunction and coronary heart disease, these are just different manifestations of a similar disease. It's basically the same disease. It's a disease of inflamed, crippled, narrowed, hardened arteries, regardless of the location where they are. Do you see?
Okay, yeah.
It all has to do with bringing proper oxygenated blood to the different organs. And if that atherosclerosis is affecting the vessels to the male sex organ, because it's a smaller, narrower artery, it often becomes a first sign, the canary in the coal mine.
You know, I was talking with an ophthalmologist, and he said that the same thing is true when looking into the human eye, that the vessels there are very small. And if he sees blockages in the human eye, that means that that person is on the road to heart disease as well. So it looks like we have two canaries in that cage.
Yeah, that's right. We have two windows.
Two windows, exactly.
That can look into the heart, right?
Yes, yes.
One window is the vessels of the eye, and then we also talk about the ED. You know, so we have to take one lesson home today, and that is atherosclerosis, or the gradual narrowing and hardening of the major vessels. It's a systemic disease. Mm-hmm. Now, systemic means it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's in the whole system, not just a local thing, but it's a generalized systemic disorder. It's uniformly affecting all major arteries, and it's related to cholesterol, it's related to diet, it's related to our lifestyle. And this disease, atherosclerosis, then, expresses itself in different clinical manifestations, such as when you start at the top, you have to worry about stroke. Narrowed arteries can lead to stroke. Mm-hmm. To memory loss, to Alzheimer's, because much of Alzheimer's is related to atherosclerosis. Then you have to also be concerned about hearing loss.
My.
Did you get that?
My.
Did you hear that?
Well, yeah. Anywhere that blood goes, any organ in the body that requires blood is going to be affected if you have narrowing of the arteries.
Yes. And you already talked about visual impairments,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And we could talk about kidney disease. We can talk about coronary artery disease, heart disease. And we could talk about gangrene that affects the feet of diabetics. Mm-hmm. It all has to do with proper circulation, proper optimal blood flow.
Okay.
And so then impotence or erectile dysfunction is directly a function, especially in men over 40 years of age, of vascular changes. We used to think of it as being a psychogenic problem. We thought, well, there's some guilt feelings of something that happened, or you know, some bad feelings, or there's no harmony in the two partners. And you know, that obviously can also play a role there.
Yeah.
But the number one factor in erectile dysfunction people, men over 40, is in its origin a diet, culturally related problem.
All right, so if we want to talk about ED, if we want to talk about the male sex organs' inability to function, we need to not necessarily talk about sex or sex therapy. We don't want to go out and get those pills that we can take that are supposed to help that. We really need to stop and say, okay, we are having this problem because of atherosclerosis. So we really need to look at what is causing atherosclerosis if we want to talk about ED. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll come to that in the second part of our program. But let me first make my case that ED and heart disease are pretty closely related, right?
Okay.
Right. Let me tell you about a study. 300 men, they had acute chest pain. You know, so that was a sign of
angina,
heart disease.
Angina. Uh-huh.
There was also angiographically documented. And 67% of these men reported that they had become impotent well before the onset of heart disease symptoms. And that was about 3 to 5 years earlier. Think of it.
The canary stopped singing is what happened.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really in distress,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So ED becomes the window to the conditions of the heart of men.
Mm-hmm.
So blood flow studies involving the male sex organ was able to predict the results of a cardiac stress test with 80% accuracy. So it's not just sort of a casual, soft relationship. No, there is pretty good accuracy. Once a person has erectile dysfunction, the chances are that you better think about this person as a cardiac patient as well, even if they don't have symptoms yet.
Well, okay. Anything else we need to know about this? Because I know you want to give us some answers here, but of course you want to make your case and you want to make sure it is fully developed in our mind. Any other studies that support this?
Oh, yeah. You know, because of this relationship, medical specialists that are looking at the sexual issue there, they are usually not only dealing with that issue, but they also now begin to encourage the men to really better understand the high risk for cardiovascular disease, mm-hmm. for hypertension, for, and they talk about you're going to do something about your smoking, you have to do something about your high blood pressure, your cholesterol, your diabetes. All of these factors are driving atherosclerosis, and these are then the same factors, the same drivers that are promoting ED.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So now that we understand that early identification of atherosclerosis by virtue of having some sexual distress may be a very excellent window of opportunity for helping men in particular to reduce their cardiovascular risk factors, and it might become one of the best motivators for them to really make some lifestyle changes, right?
Yes, indeed, because this is something that men are very conscious of. I mean, if your heart is beginning to close up, you might have some angina, but you can still function throughout the day. But this is kind of serious for men, and so using this as a motivational tool, absolutely.
Well, it might be serious for their spouses too, you know.
That's true.
So, you know, when it comes to ED, we're beginning, I saw this equation, ED equals ED, and I thought to myself, what's this all about? ED equals ED. And then they explained it in the scientific article. They said ED, erectile dysfunction, equals early death. I mean, kind of a discouraging idea, right?
Yes.
So, but that's where it stands. So we have to really become more aware that as we better understand the close relationship between ED and circulatory diseases that are subclinically progressing, we recognize the importance of lifestyle interventions. That's what we need to be focusing on. But I want to give you that after the break.
Okay, all right. Because we need to know the answers to these things, because not only does it affect our sex life, but it affects our life in general. Whether we draw a breath is affected by this too. So this is very important information. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Dr. Hans Diehl about ED and what we can do to reverse this problem. And in doing so, take advantage of opened arteries for our hearts and for our eyes and for our ears and for our brain. Lots of good things happen when we take care of that problem early. The canary might stop singing in our lives, but there's something we can do to revive the old bird. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
I thought life was just great. I felt well. And then, bang, I got told you've got 6 arteries that are blocked and 99% blocked. And so that was a bit of a surprise. I had to have 5 bypasses after that. After getting over the operation and what had to happen there, I went back onto my normal diet, which I thought was great. I had a good diet, I thought. Went back and had blood tests, and I was surprised. My cholesterol was raised, blood pressure was up, and at that point I was introduced to the CHIP program. I went onto it immediately. Straight away I thought, I have to do this. Within 2 months of going on the CHIP program, my cholesterol was halved, blood pressure was down. In fact, I had to lower my blood pressure pills because I was getting dizzy. So, hey, that was great. And then that's allowed me now to get back into the things I love. 2 weeks ago, I got back on the bike. And one thing I really noticed, when I used to bike before, I was always out of breath. I went out 2 weeks ago, I hit the hills, I didn't even get a sweat. I was doing some marvellous riding, you know, getting back on the bike, biking with my friends, living life to the full. To me, my life is just beginning again.
To learn how you can recharge your life, visit chiphealth.com. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Hans Diehl. And if you are a man, you need to pay close attention to what Dr. Diehl is saying today, because a problem that you may be facing may be indicative of a larger problem being developed within your body. We're talking about erectile dysfunction, ED, today. And Dr. Diehl, bring us a little review of what we've discussed so far so that anyone joining us right now knows what we're talking about.
Well, we talked about the idea that more than 40% of American men over 40 years of age are concerned about ED or erectile dysfunction affecting the quality of their lives. And we talked about the idea that ED is an early warning signal. It's an organ in distress signaling the need for a change in the environment. We need to begin to think about this, that we need to get out of our current lifestyle. These insidious atherosclerotic plaques that we talked about are diminishing blood flow and could lead to an imminent disaster, even premature death, unless you exit at once from your life-threatening lifestyle. After all, we're now understanding that ED is not so much psychogenic. It is largely a disease of our lifestyle, of our culture, which promotes eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we'll diet.
Yeah.
No. You see, that's more like a Russian roulette.
Yes.
You know, it's a gamble that many people lose, such as James Gandolfini of The Sopranos, remember?
Yes.
Who at 51, after a gargantuan, I mean, it was a horrific meal, was found dead by his 13-year-old son, attacked by his heart.
Oh, my.
But here's some good news. We can reduce not only the risk for heart disease, but we can also reduce the risk for ED, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. And that's good news. There is hope for people with ED.
You know, I can't think of a more exciting program for a man to get on that has this problem with ED problem. That as that situation begins to reverse itself and get better, he has to realize that he's also making it possible for his heart to function better, for his brain to think clearer, for his ears to hear better, his eyes to hear better. In other words, it may be an indication for something that's going wrong, but if he gets on the bandwagon here and he starts eating right and reversing this, it's a very clear indication, that things are turning around and that things are getting better in his body. You don't have to take an MRI. You don't have to have a stress test. You just say, hey, things are better, and I'm getting this thing going here. This is good.
Yeah. Things are looking up again,
right? Things are looking up again. Absolutely.
The bird is singing again. Yeah, there you go. No, I mean, in all seriousness, this is really very, very good news.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the whole concept of reversing these disease patterns. And I want to start and focus on heart disease. I want to take you back to World War II. Here we saw heart disease rates beginning to precipitously drop in Norway within 1 year as people had to live largely on very simple garden produce. Why? Because Germany had taken all the livestock, you know, the meat, the sausages, the eggs, and the cheese to feed its occupying Nazi armies. But once the war was over, and the rather simple diet of during the war years was gradually replaced by the more traditional and richer European diet, then, guess what? Heart disease returned again.
Whenever I hear you say this, Dr. Deal, I want to interrupt. Just this is important. When you tell me this story, and I've heard you say it on other programs, a lot of people think that stress brings about heart disease. And I'm sure stress plays a part, but not a major role, because these people were under stress. They were occupied. Oh. The people in the internment camps, their heart disease went down. They had other problems, of course, too. So it's heart disease is not predicted by stress in the life. It's predicted by diet in the life. Would I be on the right track if I say that?
Yeah, absolutely right. Of course, it is possible that the stress causes us to eat differently.
Yes,
For comfort foods. And in Norway, there were no comfort foods available.
Yeah, exactly.
So that, in a sense, turned out to be a blessing. Well, that was World War II. Then you have Dr. Dean Ornish. He was then a young cardiologist who showed that atherosclerotic plaques in the coronary arteries could actually be regressed. They could be turned around within 1 year. As a matter of fact, 82% of these plaques had become smaller by the end of 1 year. They were actually beginning to melt down. And with that, the angina pain also began to diminish, and actually all of them stopped, which means the elephant that was sitting on their chest was gone, and all in response to a simple whole food plant-centered diet. You know, it's a cholesterol-free diet, very low fat, plus exercise and stress management. That was the Ornish program. Well done, published in 1990. Then came Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn at the famous Cleveland Clinic. He took 18 heart disease patients, and he placed them on a very simple whole food plant-centered diet. just like Ornish did. Yes. Cholesterol-free, very, very low in fat, and plenty of vegetables, fruits, and whole grains and legumes. Simple foods, right? And, you know, everything that could have been done medically for these people had been done at the Cleveland Clinic. They couldn't do anything more for them. And they said, as a matter of fact, you may have a limited life expectancy. These people became the walking dead.
So
they came to Dr. Esselstyn. And what did he do? Simple diet. He said, I gave them just simple foods to eat. And then 20 years later, this is now 20 years later plus.
Yeah.
All but one of these patients are still alive and doing well.
Yeah.
Not one person needed a bypass. Not one person needed a stent. It was absolutely amazing. As long, you know, as they kept their cholesterol levels below 150, which would be in England or Australia maybe a 4.0. That is the magic thing. And as it did this, the disease actually began to turn around. The atherosclerotic plaques had regressed. They became smaller, allowing more blood to flow through these coronary arteries to the heart muscle. And so they brought relief from angina, and they also blunted the likelihood of a heart attack. And that's what happens in the male sex organ as well. And I want to talk about that now. You think people are interested in that?
I think 40% of the men are going to be very interested in this. So let's listen to this very closely. Go ahead.
Well, here are the results from several studies. Here's a Mediterranean diet study. And you know what they did here? They emphasized more fruits and vegetables and some nuts and maybe some olive oil. And they found that 37% of the men with ED regained normal sexual function within 2 years. And the improvement was directly related to four major factors. Are you ready for this?
I am.
No smoking, no alcohol, more vegetables and fruits, and more legumes like beans and lentils.
Okay.
But I have some good news for our ladies too. Listen to this. Similar results were observed in women at risk for heart disease. Here's what happened. Their sexual function also improved as their female erectile tissues received better blood flow. So this is great news for all genders.
Yes, yes it is. Yes it is. And the connection with heart disease is just, you can't forget that. If you are suffering from erectile dysfunction and you fix that, you've just fixed your heart as well. That's good news.
Well, there are probably several mechanisms at work here. You know, over time, beginning with 1 year, atherosclerotic plaques do diminish in response to a simpler whole food diet, and this provides it for more efficient blood flow. Over the short haul, there are some things happening very quickly, like the viscosity, the thickness of the blood changes. The blood thins down. It leans out. And it happens within 1 or 2 weeks as fat and cholesterol intake are starkly reduced. So we have better blood flow there. And then the next thing is that the body with atherosclerosis usually also experiences what we call a low-grade inflammation that has the artery lining on fire. And that then begins to subside as the diet becomes simpler, as we increase the fiber in the diet, which has been shown to be anti-inflammatory, and thus the blood begins to flow again. So that's within 1 to 2 weeks. I give you some ideas here from the Harvard Nurses Health Study. They suggested that 2 handfuls of nuts a week were equivalent in jogging 4 hours per week and reducing coronary heart disease risk by 50%.
Wow.
Now, let me go over that again.
Wow.
Okay. So people always think I have to make all those changes. Well, actually, you know, just here, the addition of 2 handfuls of nuts per week, right, was the equivalent of jogging 4 hours a week and reducing heart disease by 40%. And then here comes the application for ED. Listen to this.
Yeah.
In this study, they took 3 ounces of pistachio nuts a day. 3 ounces of pistachio nuts a day for 3 weeks. And they found it was demonstrating an improved significant blood flow resulting in firmer erections. 3 weeks.
So healthy diet plus pistachio nuts equals improved function.
Yeah. So what I want to do now is I want to perhaps summarize what we've talked about and maybe make some recommendations, right?
Yes.
And that is ED is on the rise.
Yes.
Right? In America, 40% of men over 40 years have it. right? Then number two, ED is often an early indicator of generalized atherosclerosis affecting the total circulatory system. We talked here about the canary in the coal mine,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did. Yes.
And our aim is to have that bird not stop singing, right?
Yeah.
Or start singing again.
Starting again. Yes, exactly.
That's right. Right, right. And so then we also talked about ED. It's quite like heart disease. It can be avoided and it can be prevented. And for those who already have it, ED can be improved, leading to firmer erections, right? I mean, so this is what we can expect, but how do we do it? Well, there's some guidelines. Number one, no smoking, because smoking contracts those more penile vessels, right?
Right.
No alcohol. So no smoking, no alcohol. And then number three, a good daily exercise, and probably the most important of all, a simpler diet of whole foods with lots of fiber that brings also cholesterol levels down to the less than 150 points, less than 4.0,
right?
And such a diet then should focus on more vegetables, more fruits, more whole grains, and more legumes. Plus, we talked about some nuts every day and plenty of water to drink.
No doctor required in this thing. This is what I like about what you're saying here. We tend to be so enamored by the medical profession that we want to go and we want the doctor to give us a pill or a potion or some kind of procedure or some kind of surgery that will fix us up. But we can do it ourselves, and it sure costs a whole lot less money.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, it can really help with the healthcare costs of this country across the board. Am I right?
Well, yes, yes, yes. So, you know, here's my prescription.
Yes.
And it costs you nothing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But you have to do it.
Yes.
Right? So when it comes to ED, when it comes to erectile dysfunction, it's not a Viagra deficiency. No.
Man.
What you do in the kitchen has a lot to do with what happens in the bedroom and beyond.
Wow.
So ED is not just a localized disease or disorder. It has to do with a systemic disorder that is characterized by atherosclerosis, a narrowing and hardening of the arteries over the whole body, and that has to do with our lifestyle, our culture, our diet. So move towards simpler foods, whole foods. Move towards plenty of water. Leave out the cigarettes, leave out the alcohol, and I think put some exercise into your program, and I think you will find that ED, I tell you, things can be looking up again. God bless you.
Dr. Deal, thank you so much for that. If you want more information, listener, chiphealth.com is the website to visit. There's all kinds of good stuff there, some videos to watch, and also to find out if there's a CHIP program coming to your area, because I can guarantee you that if you have ED and you attend a CHIP program and you follow it, that ED, and more importantly, the heart disease that would follow that ED, will be mitigated. That's chiphealth.com. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with my good friend, Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to be healthy by choice. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about Healthy by Choice, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. You can also email us through our website at 3abn.org.